seen anything like that.
I'm a very confident front runner. I've caddied for 33 years, 145 wins now, and that's the best win I've ever had.
I have no idea what you have.
I don't know. How are we going to count all the shots? I can't keep track.
Fuck! God damn it!
I don't think he's pleased.
Of course you would. That's a particularly stupid question. It's the Irish Open. Of course you want to play at the weekend.
Hello, you're welcome along to Golf Weekly. Tigers back. That's about the height of it for this week. But we are here. Nathan Murphy, you are here in studio. Hello.
Hey, Joe.
Fionn Davenport via Skype in Manchester. Hello.
Hey, lads.
Tiger, eh?
So can we record this pod? Can we record two versions? Because it's 4:30 Irish time on Thursday. Tiger Woods is back on the course. Within the hour.
Yeah.
So let's do 20 minutes of, wow, that guy is back. I expect him to go on and beat Jack Nicklaus' record. And then maybe another 15 minutes of, it's the end.
I know.
I just don't see it happening for him.
We also need to do a, God, he's injured again.
Yeah.
Version. There are a lot of versions here. This will be the most dated podcast you will ever hear. Tweets never age. So you've got us at Golf Weekly NT. A lot of tweets this week. Record amount, I think, actually. So Mark O'Shea... I'm expecting Fionn to talk more about this than Tiger on the next pod. And he had a picture of Rory McIlroy and that little kid.
Ah, what a cute little kid. A
lot of reaction to you talking about that kid so much.
Little Billy.
Paul Simons was in touch on last week's podcast. He said that was the biggest load of nonsense I've ever listened to. And it was absolutely brilliant. Well done, lads. Paddy Carney.
It was the biggest load of nonsense.
Seemed to get a lot of praise for actually not working very hard. Paddy Carney tweeted us to say, excellent interview. And I thought, I didn't realise we did any interviews. And it turned out Paddy was sending us an interview done on another golf podcast, thinking that we're the kind of personalities who would like to see other people doing well.
No, you really don't get us.
Paddy, what do you think we're going to think about that except...
Wow, I'm really delighted for that other guy getting that big interview.
Yeah, retweet. Everybody should check this out. Come on, Paddy. Give us more. Damien McCauley said he had the podcast on in the background last week. I kind of drifted out, assumed it was over, and 10 minutes later you were still rambling on.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a positive. Definitely a positive.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a positive.
He didn't turn it off.
No.
Because he was asleep.
Greg McGee, I listened in full. As a reward, you need to reveal the golfer who reckons Tiger is finished. # friend of the pod. Sorry, Greg, no can do. Thaddeo said, I'm definitely trying out Strawberry Mousse. Was always a big fan of Ken Brown's rhythm tip. And if you... sorry.
Joe.
And Ken Brown...
tell us more about Ken Brown's rhythm tip. Please.
Oh my God.
Ken Brown's rhythm tip. Ken Brown's rhythm tip is Alistair Cadogan. So on the
Alistair
back,
Cadogan.
Alistair Cadogan. Dermot O'Keefe, though, was listening and he said, Strawberry Mousse didn't work. Cadogan. I played more like Mousse.
Alistair Cadogan.
There you go.
Alistair Cadogan. There's an extra syllable in there, isn't there?
Strawberry Mousse. Alistair Cadogan. Yes. A bit slower at Cadogan. Mousse is quick. That's why I think your downswing should be quicker. Cadogan's a bit slow of a downswing.
Tiger's current swing is Strawberry Mousse.
Yeah. he's taking his time on the way from the top down, that's for sure. More of that in a moment. Jeff Linnell. You three must go out and play together and record it. Any great shot reaction? You know, it'd be great to get the shot reaction of each. For terrible shots too.
Jeff Linnell is the guy who very kindly invited me to play Stockport, and I will take him up on it absolutely in the next week or so.
Yeah, right.
I was just thinking we'd be. I don't know if we've all played together. Played with each other separately, but when Joe was shooting 78, you'd probably get a little bit bitter.
I was very rusty
well done.
Again.
Like there's going to be no pats on the back.
No. Oh, no, I expect vitriol. I played recently and it was poor again.
Oh, really?
After a 4 or 5 week break, so it just shows.
Ooh. Why'd you have a 4 or 5 week break?
Just away. It was in Chicago. Different things. Just life, you know? And it was amazing how quickly the rust gathered. My golf today, says Marley, was definitely a good walk spoiled. Hopefully Tiger does better. He was playing in Santun Golf Club, which is in North Devon. Are you near North Devon?
No, Joe. Do you know English geography?
Yeah.
At all?
I do, yeah. At all, yeah, for sure. I don't know where North Devon is exactly.
Okay.
Well, do you know where Devon is?
It's in Devon, though. Yeah.
I don't really know where Devon is.
Down the south, okay. By the sea.
Down the south, by okay. The sea, near Cornwall.
Okay, okay. All right.
I'm in the northwest.
You'd love their accent, Joe.
I know the Devon accent.
That lad lying acre. Oh, yeah. I like a bit of cider.
Not bad.
That was very,
very good. Passable. Noel O'Donnell on last week's pod said, more of the same crap, please. And I liked the Matt Dillon diversion. A lot of people enjoyed Matt Dillon stories. Have you got a new one?
Not this one.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week, buddy. See you. Bye, bye, bye.
Did Matt Dillon listen in and get in touch? Had he any issues with us talking about him?
I don't know. I don't know that he'd be delighted that I was telling stories about him. But
if you're a friend of the pod, do not tweet Matt Dillon to tell him Fiona's telling stories about him. That would be appreciated. So hang on. This has been the great controversy for 2 to 3 weeks running, and none of us, it's passed us all by. On the fatal car crash incident. Fiona, you're on Skype. You can't control it. You sit back. You're in the passenger seat, buddy. There's a delay on the line. You obey us. Fatal car crash. This is on YouTube because I wasn't here the initial time. Somebody tweeted somebody else listening in to go, I think the lads have missed the point. To return from a fatal car crash is certainly an impressive achievement.
Yeah, that's... I don't remember
you saying that.
Fionn must have said a fatal car crash and Ben Hogan returned from his fatal... Did anybody die in the car
crash? They called
it
miraculous for a reason.
Did anybody die in the car crash? Because then it's a fatal car crash.
Oh, yeah. Could be a get-out clause.
Not one we take much joy in, but...
No, but the purposes of this.
For the purposes of getting one over on those listeners. I'm going to keep moving here. Alan Morgan, just finished the pod. Fourth wall well and truly down. On-air administration, pawning off work to listeners, gossip, semi-existential pod crisis. I liked it. Loved it, in fact. Kev Cullen, 40 points this morning. # strawberry mousse.
Ooh. Maybe you need to try strawberry mousse. Get your flow back.
I prefer Ken Brown's rhythm tip. Enda Kilgallen.
Who doesn't?
If you need material for next week, a detailed breakdown of how Joe has broken 80 twice would be great for us aspiring to go under 80. Well, that can be arranged.
Maybe that could be a bonus podcast where you can just come in here to studio by yourself
on Christmas Day.
Yeah, think about Ken Brown's rhythm tip and tell him how he got under 80.
You just can't say Ken Brown's rhythm tip enough. Ian Welch says, more shit talk next week, please. Sorry, Fionn.
I'm just thinking of... every time you say that, I'm thinking of Ian Dury and the Blockheads. Do you remember them? They had a song, Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick.
Every time I say what?
Ken Brown's rhythm tip.
It's so good. Okay.
Could you make that a swing toss? Ken Brown's rhythm tip.
Hit Me With Browner's rhythm tip.
Joe.
Apologies, everyone. Ian Welch, more shit talk next week, please. John, how about getting a teaching pro on to cover what to work on over the winter? Yeah, maybe. We'll try and do that, maybe. Even over the phone might be good. John Caulfield on... interesting. He's blown Billy, the kid's cover. He points out, the kid is actually an actor. He plays a young Prince Charles in The Crown on Netflix.
Oh.
Yeah. So he's an actor.
I should have known this because I am watching The Crown
on
Netflix.
Does the pace pick up? I'm on episode 1.5.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Okay.
Have you seen Little Billy in it?
Not yet. Haven't noticed.
No.
Would have a different accent, I'd say. He's all, all right, Keisha, I'm here to interview Rory. Although John Caulfield, who blows Billy's cover, does say, Fionn's cynicism probably causing his driving yips, which I thought was a fair point.
What?
Yeah.
That's outrageous. That's cynical.
I also realised when I was talking to someone at Clean about your driving yips over the weekend, Shea Boland. And I was saying, he's like, how's Fionn getting on? And I was like, oh yeah, and it's good. He's at the driving yips recently. And then Shay said, oh, can you knock the club back? And I was like, oh no, I suppose it's technically got the yips. He's just really, really bad now, is the more accurate description.
By the way, I'm over that hump. I'm hitting the ball again.
Sure, no, definitely.
No, I am.
Have the two of you ever hit the ball well at the same time?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, it's very enjoyable, obviously, when that happens. Lenny Clark, discovered the pod about a month ago, and it's been mostly shit talk I've listened to, but carry on. And then final tweet. So lots of tweets.
This is the off season.
Yeah, we're all a bit rusty. Stephen finally says, more of Fionn's celeb name drop stories, please. If that doesn't get the Callaway deal over the line, nothing will. Matt Dillon's your best one, is it? Is he your best?
So far, it's my only one, really.
Yeah. Okay, there's the tweets. We're talking Tiger next. So, gents, when I was waiting for you guys to come on board earlier on today, I spoke with Rex Huggard of the Golf Channel. He was making his way into work. It sounded like he was in a tornado for the first few minute or two of the call, so please ignore that. But I started off by asking Rex if he was indeed in a tornado.
Oh, I'm sorry. The wind is kind of bad right here. I'm getting into a better spot, though. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're good. Are you in the Bahamas or are you at home?
I'm not in the Bahamas. I'm actually in Orlando heading into the office. So
very good.
It's Orlando traffic. I apologize.
That's no problem. So, you know who is back. What are your broad thoughts on Tiger's return, Rex?
I think watching his body language this week, listening to the things he's been saying, clearly he's very optimistic. We have no idea. I mean, it's been 15 months since we've last seen him hit a shot that mattered. And I think everyone's sort of taking it slow, including Tiger Woods. I mean, I thought his press conference earlier this week was very telling that he revealed that, look, there was a time when he thought that maybe he'd never play golf again and that, you know, he needed to move on to other things. But listening to him, watching him swing the golf club this week, he certainly there is a feel of optimism, at least until he finishes his first round and we can actually take something, a round that actually means something.
What have you made of the images of him swinging the club? What do you make of the swing?
I'm not a swing expert. I was on Hank Haney's show yesterday. He is a swing expert. He spent a lot of time working with Tiger Woods. He saw some technical things about, you know, bringing the club inside when the ball is teed low with the driver. It doesn't add up. I mean, when you tee the ball up low, Hank explained to me, as we all know, you're trying to cut it, but you're bringing the club inside, which is trying to create a draw. So there are some technical things that I think not only, you know, everyone else will try to figure out. I'm sure Tiger's trying to figure them out, to be quite frank with you. I mean, look, when last we saw him at the Wyndham Championship in 2015, he was just posting his best finish of the year. It seemed like he was coming to grips with his swing. He was more comfortable with it. It's been a long 15 months. I mean, he's gone through multiple back procedures since then. He's probably made some changes to his swing. He's made a lot of changes to his bag with new equipment. All of these things are huge unknowns right now. So I think Tiger himself is probably going to ease his way into this. I mean, as much as everyone around him wants to see how he wants to do, obviously there's a lot of interest. I think Tiger's probably the one with the most questions right now, to be quite frank with you.
Talk to us about the equipment situation. It seems like pretty much every Nike guy, he's gone straight for those TaylorMade Woods. It's like the best free advertising in history.
It is the best free advertising in history, and I thought it was interesting yesterday, again, speaking with Hank Haney, who worked with Tiger for a long time. I was being politically correct and sort of just talking about the transition to the new driver and how difficult that would be, and Hank immediately cut me off, and he goes, there's no way that driver's going to be any worse than what he's used over the last 15 years, which was a very harsh criticism, I thought, but it is an indication of what at least people who at one time were close to Tiger felt of the equipment. TaylorMade, the driver, the three wood, that makes sense to me. He actually stayed with his Nike irons. They're pretty much blades. What is interesting is the ball you're using, the Bridgestone ball. And Tiger said earlier this week that the biggest transition when you go to new equipment for any professional golfer is the golf ball. You don't know how much it's going to spin. You don't know how much is going to come off the club base in certain situations. So that'll be the big test this week, to be quite honest with you.
Was Haney optimistic based on what he'd seen thus far?
Yes, I think he was. I think he felt like, and again, keep in mind, I mean, he coached Tiger at his absolute best, and he has seen firsthand the things that Tiger can do. He felt like that a lot of people, specifically in the media, were sort of downplaying what Tiger was able to do and that everyone was sort of softballing this and that, you know, not having very high expectations for Tiger. And he felt like if you look at the situation, which is a best-case scenario for Tiger, I mean, it's a small field event. It's on a golf course he's familiar with. It's warm. He doesn't have to worry about hills. All of these things factor into Haney felt like he should go out and, you know, maybe a top five is not out of the question. And it's Tiger Woods. Mm. He is still the most talented guy in the game, if not the healthiest.
Yeah. Tiger was saying after his practice round yesterday, I felt good with pretty much everything. I was able to hit all the shots I needed to hit. I guess as well, we don't know what type of game he's playing at the moment. Like, well, you know, in recent years, we've seen him set up for that cut on pretty much every shot, that fade, that cut, that's been his go-to shot. And you know, that's been the Tiger we've seen in the last number of years. We don't actually know what way he's shaping the ball yet or how he's going about his stuff.
No, we do not. And I think watching some of the practice around the pro-am round yesterday, again, I'm not in the Bahamas, but I have colleagues who are down there that I've spoken with. And he still seems to rely on the cut, especially with the driver. And look, I couldn't imagine that would change even after 15 months away from the game. I mean, we all know that the driver has not been his best friend over the last few years. And if he can create a cut, you know, that he can depend on, at least semi-depend on, I think he's going to stick with that. The interesting thing would be, and I've spoken with other golfers who use, Jason Day being the primary example, who use those TaylorMade woods, how far he hits the three wood. And it's funny, but it's a problem to them because you hit it so far that there's not really a gap between what you hit your driver and your three wood. And the way he was hitting his three wood yesterday, he was almost using it as a sort of backup driver, a lot like Henrik Stenson does.
Yeah, which could be just what he needs. Did Tiger ever play a predominant draw, Rex, down his career, down in the early years even?
Yeah, I think in the early years he did. When he was second on tour in driving distance, and I mean, he was just fearless. And this is the part that, you know, and Butch Harmon certainly brings up a lot. We talk about how he's never been a great driver of the golf ball, and that's simply not true. I think in 2000, the year he won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, he was second on tour in driving distance and third on tour in driving accuracy. And that was primarily with a draw. I mean, that was his go-to shot. He just felt like he was fearless with it. And over the years, I don't know that he's that different than any other golfer. You start to get a little bit more fearful of things. And I think over the years, that certainly manifested itself more so with Tiger than maybe other players.
I know you have your contacts on tour and you speak with them as part of your work with the Golf Channel. How would you surmise the mood amongst fellow pros watching on as Tiger returns here?
I think there's a lot of curiosity. I thought Jordan Spieth was great yesterday talking about it, as he normally is, and saying that, you know, it will be interesting to see what this comeback holds. Because keep in mind, most of these guys have never seen Tiger Woods at his best. Even Dustin Johnson, who is on the older side of the current generation of top players, he's never gone head-to-head with Tiger when he's at his best. Certainly Rory has not done that. I mean, they've had their moments when, you know, they've been in tournaments together, but they've never really contended head-to-head for a title, and that's huge. I mean, anytime you talk to Ernie Els or talk to Ernie about his legacy, or Phil for that matter, those guys were scarred by what Tiger was able to do for the better part of a decade and a half, because every time they went head-to-head with him, he always seemed to come out on top. The current generation doesn't have that. I think they're looking forward to it. They understand how important he is to the game. And more than anything, I think they're kind of wistful, hopeful, that when Tiger does come back, that there is some sort of semblance of that. I think most of these guys, certainly Rory, certainly Dustin and Jordan, Jason Day, they would love to have the opportunity to play Tiger Woods at his best.
I know. Shane Lowry's the same over here. He talks about how he's just desperate to play with Tiger at least once. And it's like he's almost gone into a, you know, like there's a naivety about that. Or you know, he's not some novelty act, and yet all these young guys just really want to play with him. It's kind of at odds with the fear factor that Tiger once had.
Be careful what you wish for,
yeah,
right? Yeah, you can sit here and hope that you end up. This is a conversation that I had with Ernie Els not very long ago. And, you know, he kind of said the same thing, that, look, take it from me. I'm a guy who I probably could have won, I don't know, pick a number, 3, 4, maybe 5 more majors had there not been Tiger Woods. And he said it was hard. You know, he had to look himself in the mirror a lot of times and try to figure out, how am I going to beat this guy if I'm going to beat him at all?
We've skirted around the crucial key issue, I suppose. And if I was to say to you, I can guarantee you, Rex, that Tiger, aged 40 now, will play for the next 5 years straight and be able to play every tournament he wants and will be able to practice as hard as he wants and his body will allow him to do that, I think you and I might come around to the notion that Tiger could sneak another major or two or three. The key question is, will his body allow that? And I presume, as ever, we have no genuine idea of how Tiger Woods' back is or his body is, because, frankly, they keep everything so close to their chest over there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big caveat. I think I'm with you. If you were to guarantee me the things that you did, health, being able to practice, being able to do the things that he did earlier in his career that made him so successful, I mean, we kind of all sort of lapsed into this naive idea that Tiger Woods just showed up at a tournament on Thursday and put a peg in the ground and started to hit it and played this brilliant golf. Talking with Hank, talking with Butch Harmon, the people who are around him, really don't have any idea how much work, how much effort he had to put into being the person, the player that he turned out to be. If he's able to do that, if his body's able to hold up and withstand the rigors, sure, absolutely he could win another major or two. Maybe he could even flirt with Jack Nicklaus, a record of 18 majors under the right circumstances. But if you look at the players, and Tiger referenced Jim Furyk specifically yesterday, and Davis Love winning last year at 51 years old, that he's comparing himself to, Jim Furyk doesn't play the game the same way the Tiger does.
Yeah.
And in this particular situation, Tiger's either going to have to change the way he plays the game or accept the fact that there's going to be more injuries in his future.
Yeah. The final point, and I guess it's a needless one to make, but it's worth making. Man, it's amazing that he's back. And you just, like, you know, I work in a general sports show and we don't always talk about golf. But obviously we talked about it this week and the whole world is looking on. Because, Rex, this kind of feels like it. You know, this is the one time he's taken the full 16, 17 months out of the game. He hasn't stupidly rushed back for a major. This is, maybe it's not, but this feels like the last throw of the dice here for Tiger. These next 12 months define what he's calling phase two of his career. This is it.
You would think so. As you pointed out, he'll be 41 at the end of this month. So, I mean, that's not old by golf standards, by any stretch of the imagination. I think the common line is that Tiger is an old 41 because of everything he's been through physically. I can't imagine going through another back procedure or multiple back procedures and him being able to continue to do this. I mean, he simply doesn't have time on his side at this point. If he does it again and misses another 15 months, it starts to add up over a while. It is encouraging that he took those 15 months off and he had the opportunity just a few weeks ago to come back in Napa at the tour event there and decided that it wasn't worth it. And that's a Tiger that we're really not accustomed to be quite frank with you. So it will be interesting to see how he handles this comeback, because I think I'm with you. This could be his last shot.
Rex, we'll be looking out for your thoughts on the Golf Channel website. Thanks a million.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
And they were the thoughts of Rex Hoggard. And I guess, like everybody else, although not the people who have listened to this podcast this evening or tomorrow, he just wasn't quite sure what to expect from Tiger Woods.
Yeah, Tiger's at an unfortunate stage where it's not just about today, it's not just about this week. Mm. Every single round for the rest of his career, unless he starts winning tournaments and winning majors again, is going to be agonized over. People are going to read way too much into every little thing that happens, and there's just going to be a constant question mark there, no matter what he does. So unless he comes and wins the Masters, this continues indefinitely.
There will be the constant, can Tiger get back narrative until he actually wins a major. Just to give you a sense of what he was saying after his practice round yesterday, and again, you know, things may have changed, but he was reasonably happy with his practice round, and he spoke to reporters on the 18th green after the Pro-Am yesterday.
I felt good out there. I mean, this golf course is playing tough out here for these amateurs. I mean, it's whipping out here. But, you know, I think they did the right thing, slowed the greens down. Single cut them. They would have been too quick with this much wind.
Did you get out of it what you wanted, Tiger, today?
Today, yeah, I did. I did a little bit of work for about probably, I'm guessing, probably 12 holes or so. After that, it was a lot of, we were jawing pretty good. It was good. We had a good group of guys.
What were you
best thing of the
about?
Day? Yeah.
The happiest about today? I think just overall, just going out there and been playing. I hadn't, I probably did a dumb move and not playing sunglasses out here, because normally I'm wearing carts zipping around here and walking between holes, and I started noticing I'm starting to get a pretty good headache from squinting so much. But live and learn. On tomorrow I'll have them on.
If you could describe your mindset for tomorrow in one word, what would you go with?
No, I'll be focused, I'll be ready.
What's the thing that needs the most work right now after 18?
Probably my putting. My speed's off, because I did some work 2 days ago, two and 3 days ago, but they were double cut, and now they're single cut, different speed, and most of my putts I left short. The last couple holes I made a couple putts, and I was telling Joey I'm going to hit it at least 4 or 5 feet past the hole, I don't care, and you know, they would have gone only about a foot past, so I need a little bit of work this afternoon.
What about your game surprised you today?
Surprised me? Not much. You know, I felt good with pretty much everything. I'll be able to hit all the shots I needed to hit. The wind was definitely pumping today, and it was good to see it under in this direction. The time since I've been here on Saturday, it's been blown out the other direction, so it was good to see it out of this direction.
How do you chill out tonight? What do you do tonight? I guess you work on your putting this afternoon, do you?
I work on putting this afternoon, and I've got, you know, obviously our welcome dinner tonight. And so we've got a little bit of work to do tonight, and then I'll be ready for tomorrow.
So pace of the greens aside, Tiger, pretty upbeat. He's always pretty upbeat. Fiona, have you seen much of his practice swings? What are you made of the coverage? What are your waters telling you?
I read all of the coverage, and it seems that nobody can figure out what's going on because there's nothing to figure out. One of the more interesting things that I saw was that nobody expects Tiger to do, say, what Vijay Singh did, which is come back, maybe come second in one tournament, win $1 million and carry on that way. Nobody thinks that this is anywhere near Tiger's ambition, that if Tiger can't contend at the very top level, he's going to disappear and we'll never see him again on the course. And I think that that's kind of the thing that's at play here. And it won't be determined in the Bahamas. It'll be determined over the course of the first half of next season. And that's it. That would be my major thought. And I'm poisoning myself here because as I'm talking to you guys, I'm sitting on my couch and I'm watching the Masters film from 1997 that's on Sky at the moment. And it's just heartbreaking to think that we're having a conversation about this, the greatest golfer that ever lived, whilst, you know, kind of discussing, can he make it through three rounds?
I don't know if it's heartbreaking. It would be heartbreaking if we were sitting here and Tiger Woods had never won a major again after 1997. Like, he's won 14 majors. He's done it all. All right, it's not ending the way we all would have liked with him going and beating Jack Nicklaus' record. But he still has had the greatest career of modern times. It's fine if this doesn't work out. And I think Fionn's right. If anyone is sitting here now saying, what's the most likely scenario in 2 years' time? Tiger Woods to have won another major, or Tiger Woods have retired? Most people, I think, would say Tiger Woods have retired.
Because of the body. Like, as I said to Rex, if you could guarantee that Tiger could play for the next 5 years, injury-free, practice as much as he wanted, you'd actually back him to sneak a major or two somewhere along the way because he just would manage to groove in a swing. The feel for this is pretty good. Dustin Johnson, world number two, is there. Jordan Spieth is there, number four. Henrik Stenson is there, fifth in the world. Patrick Reed is playing with Tiger Woods. The way Patrick Reed talked about playing with Woods is similar to how Spieth has talked about it, Shane Lowry even to an extent. It's like Tiger Woods is now this tourist attraction for the younger guys and they want to catch around with him before the ride is shut down. They're not in any way afraid of him. It's like, oh yeah, no, it's great to actually get to play with him. There's no sense of fear. There's no sense of, God, I wonder, is he going to come back and actually threaten me? That doesn't even seem to be in their thinking. It's kind of funny the way they're all talking about playing with him. Bubba Watson is there. Matsuyama is there, Ricky Fowler is there, Rose is there, Walker's there, Kuchar's there. So far, I have yet to come across a name I'm backing Woods to finish above, I should say. Russell Knox.
He's the rank outsider.
Yeah. Brooks Koepka, Snedeker, Louis Westhuizen. Okay, I'm going to keep going here. J.B. Holmes, Emiliano Grillo, who's very sharp, and Zach Johnson. Who out of them are you backing to finish ahead of Tiger
Woods? Suddenly I'm excited about this tournament.
I'm serious. Who are you backing to finish behind Woods there?
Louis Westhuizen.
Westhuizen's been good form lately. Played well in South Africa recently.
Has he?
Uh-huh. He's back, baby. Once his back is okay, much like Tiger Woods.
You couldn't back any player.
You'd be
having
wanted.
Had the length of layoff the Tigers had going into a field of that quality. It is just that it's Tiger. I think it's interesting what you're saying there about all these top players now wanting to be able to tell their grandkids, I played around with Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And there was a story that came out about the Ryder Cup. One of the nights with the American team, I don't know if you were reading this, about Zach Johnson. So one night in the team room, everybody's wearing a onesie and a red T-shirt. So they gathered that night. Zach Johnson, Mr. Funtime himself, stands at the front of the room and addresses the team. He said, I just want to pay tribute to one of our assistant captains, a man who has done so much for this game. The entire team stands up, unzips the top half of their onesies, and reveals T-shirts showing a simple four-word message. Make Tiger great again.
Oh. Wow.
To which I ask you both this question. What do you think is the possibility that, advertently or inadvertently, they kind of let Tiger, maybe not win, but they let Tiger do well this week?
Oh, no chance.
But what you can't let Tiger do well. Yeah, this is the, I mean, like, it's not about what anyone else does for Tiger. It's surely it's all within.
He's against the course, Fionn, you know that. What was Tiger's reaction to this spectacle?
I don't know, but it does make me wonder if what we're talking about can actually be a benefit to Tiger. So, during the glory years, Tiger is this isolated figure. He has to be. He's solely focused on himself and nothing else. He doesn't really care that he doesn't interact with the rest of the players, doesn't want to let anybody inside. Whereas now, with everything that's gone on, it does seem from the outside as if Tiger has mellowed.
He must have mentioned the guys about 20 times during the week in his press conference. Great to be back with the guys.
But maybe that can ease the pressure on him a little bit, and maybe that will actually help him return to very good golf, that he's part of a group, that he enjoys being out on tour, gets him out of bloody Florida for 6 months of the year, and he gets to hang around with Matt Kuchar and Jim Furyk and Jordan Spieth.
Get away from those damn kids.
Exactly.
He's the goose that laid the golden egg. And I think the PGA are just fingers and toes crossed that he remains the goose and still has egg-laying capabilities.
Yeah.
I don't think it gets any more complicated than that.
And still only 40. Like, he is such an old 40. The analysis of a swing, obviously, is difficult. And quite often you'll see him swing and have no idea where the ball goes. So we presume, I mean, as Rex said, the word is he's still mainly relying on a cut, fade type shape to his game. I saw my good friend Trip Eisenhower on the Golf Channel, whose name I had to write down because I knew if I didn't write it down, I'd get it wrong. So Trip Eisenhower did an analysis of Woods' swing from 2015 versus one that we've seen in the Bahamas this week. And he said a lot of it was very good. The two key differences he pointed out were that not as much separation and resistance ultimately between his lower half and his upper half. So a bit like, you know, Brandel Chamblee might be happy, a bit like Phil, a bit like more of an old school guy. He's letting his legs and go into his right side a bit more. He's not as braced. He's letting his left hip turn more. So he's not twisting as much effectively. And Tripp said that's maybe no bad thing. And then on the downswing, and he compared it with a freeze frame by frame with 2015, the club on the left in 2015 was far more behind Woods. You know, you hear pros talking about the club got behind me. Well, yesterday Woods had the club far more in front of him. And so in the newer swing, when the club was hitting the ball, it was still maybe about 10 inches from the ball in the 2015 swing. And so Tripp's take was, this is more connected, it's less athletic, but the club's not getting trapped behind him as much. And his argument was, this tells me that his chest and the club are more in sync, and so Woods is just making sure with the driver he's going to hit the fairway. And then maybe with those old TaylorMades, he compensates for any loss of length. Like Woods was saying with the TaylorMade this week, he's carrying 305.
Really?
Yeah. Now Woods says
that's kind of, yeah.
His swing looking less athletic is putting it mildly. I'm just looking at him on the range here, and it's like a swing from somebody on the Champions Tour.
I said that, yeah, that was my thought as well. The backswing looks good. You look at the backswing and it's like, oh, that's nice. And then from the top, it just goes a little bit into Champions Tour, which is, maybe he's minding himself. Presumably that's not going to be the extent of it, but it just doesn't look explosive.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm like getting way ahead of myself. But you're thinking about a swing for a major championship on a Saturday when he's starting three or four shots behind and he's going to do what Tiger used to do and try and put the pressure on.
Yeah.
What happens then? Like, can everything... Like, that's the other thing. Tiger could come back. Maybe Tiger does come back and start winning tournaments, as he did 2-3 years ago. But he still couldn't do it in the majors.
It would seem to me, and I'm kind of surprised, if Tiger is telling the truth and he can carry 305, because it would seem that what everybody agrees is that Tiger obviously isn't going to have the length that he used to have. And more to the point, the young guys coming up are way longer than Tiger could be, even at his healthiest. So Tiger, to contend, has to figure out an entirely different way to dominate a golf course. He has to figure out a whole new way of playing. And for the guy who, to my mind, has the best short game I've ever seen of anybody, he has to figure out a way. How can he move the ball around the course, get his ups and downs, find his touch in the greens again? And so rather than kind of try and get this kind of big bulky swing going again, it's more about how are you going to finesse your way around the course. And Tiger, as I said, like, Tiger's the greatest short game exponent I've ever seen. And yet what made him the most dominant player of ever is that he dominated a golf course with just power and length and just pure brute force.
And strategy, though. and strategy.
Yeah,
he's got an amazing. You know, you don't win the particularly the British Opens that he won without great strategy. So, and his iron play, like the thing I think, you know, we don't talk enough about his iron play. He is as good as any iron player in the history of the game as well. So, you know, Johnny Miller has said it. Lots of guys have said it. Just will you just find the goddamn fairway, get your short game sharp again, and just rely on those irons as your real scoring tool to set up your chances. I mean, look, we've all gone with the best of intentions to not rip at the driver, and it's very hard not to do it, even I'd say at their level, especially when he's seen the younger guys. So, look, no, I don't
what
know.
What made him, you're absolutely right, Joe, about his iron play, but it's because he could hit towering five irons. He could hit Rory McIlroy five irons, sure, like that went way up in the sky. He also took less club than your average player, so he could hit seven iron 200 yards.
Yeah.
And kill it dead on the green, and he used to just destroy golf courses that way. So I absolutely agree, but his strength, his core strength, was such a central part of the reason that he was such a great golfer, and that's gone now.
Yeah.
So the big challenge for him is, how is he going to play an entirely different kind of golf?
We will have more answers next week. Unfortunately, here in News Talk Towers, we are being kicked out of the studio. We started later than usual, and so it's an abbreviated Golf Weekly, but I mean, we're back next week and there will be so much more to talk about. We'll have a bumper edition next week, I would think. So we're going to have to leave it there. Nathan?
We're going to be analysing Tiger's fill in the gap.
Tiger's fill in the gap.
Oh, yeah. Fill in the gap.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to say, we're going to be analysing Tiger's win at the Hero World Challenge next week.
We're going to be analysing his second last place finish because somebody picked up an injury. Yeah. To pull out.
Why didn't his glutes fire on next week's show? All of these in the mix. Fionn, thank you for Skyping in.
I'll be in studio next week.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
Great. Mm.
All righty. See you, folks. Enjoy, Tiger.
Go and tell all my exes wear Rolexes. But I reside right here in Dardanelle. All picket now. Little J.D. Starter kid right here.